Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators out here in Colorado, but also a pastor and a father of five. And just trying to retain some sense of family, faith, and freedom in the 21st century. Dave Buhner also in studio with me. And we have been broadcasting for 6 years, my friends, watching the steady socialization of America, the rise of the fascist state in America. And this is certainly happening with the people putting all the Democrats in both houses of Congress and at the same time voting in Barack Obama as President of the United States, most socialist, most Marxist candidate ever to run for President of the United States, also most pro-infanticide. You join a little infanticide, a little lack of respect for life with socialism, what do you get? Well, you get the new health care bill. We want to talk about this today, but right now the discussion of this health care bill is out of control. I think I read somewhere, Dave, there were 1,000 people on one side of the street, 1,000 people on the other side of the street, and they were all yelling at the same time. So it seems to me that we are ascending to new levels of intelligence in the debate on this health care bill at this point.
Yeah, it sort of goes like this. The opponents of the health care bills call it socialism, and they point out that the National Socialist Party was called the Nazi Party.
Right. If you were national and you were socialist, you were typically national socialist. As I recall, Newsweek magazine came out with the cover. Remember the cover of Newsweek 4 months ago? We are all socialists now. After Barack Obama was elected President of the United States, we are past the denial stage. Even Newsweek magazine acknowledges. I mean, they use the S word. I used to use it a lot and used to accuse Republicans and Democrats of being socialists. But now, even Newsweek magazine acknowledges we are all socialists now. So if we're socialists and there's stuff happening on a national level that involves, say, socialist medicine, for example, my guess is that would be a form of national, say, socialism, national socialism. National socialism is sort of the Nazi thing.
Well, of course, that's one viewpoint of one side. The other side, the side that wants to advance this national socialist healthcare, says, well, you who are opposing us, you're acting like Nazis. And so what we have here is one side saying, you're a Nazi, and the other side saying, no, you're the Nazi. No, you're the Nazi. No, you're the Nazi. No, you're the Nazi. And so our discussion on this has gotten very, very high level, very erudite.
Yeah, exactly. Well, 49% of Americans opposed to it, 43% approve of it at this point, according to the Los Angeles Times. That was yesterday. And here's Barack Obama himself trying to sell this across the country. This is a quote from this morning's paper. For all the scare tactics out there, what is truly scary is if we do nothing. And Dave, I don't know about you, but if Barack Obama does anything through the Congress, I don't know, I'm scared. I would rather they do nothing. I think that would be the approach. That would be really, really nice, actually, if they didn't do anything.
I think that's a winning platform. Any candidate wants my vote can run on the know-nothing, we will do nothing platform. Forget hope, forget change, we will do nothing.
Remember how they solved the bankruptcy problem. They've got that solved because, again, it would be scary to do nothing, and so we're going to spend our way out of bankruptcy. That's how they're solving problems in Washington. And, of course, setting things up for an even greater depression, much like FDR did in the early 1930s. You remember we had a depression that really could have lasted for 3 years but wound up lasting for about 10 or 12 years. I think right now we have the potential of a depression that could last for about 4 to 5 years. And if they continue to do what they're doing, it will last closer to 20 to 30 years.
Well, I think it'll probably be the end of the nation as we know it. You simply cannot be $1 trillion in deficit this early in the year and survive. And we are over $1 trillion in deficit so far this fiscal year.
Okay, here's Obama again here. For all the chatter and yelling and the shouting and the noise going on, what you need to know is this. If you do have health insurance, we will make sure that no insurance company or government bureaucrat gets between you and the care that you need. Now, I had to read that a couple of times, Dave. I wasn't sure exactly what the newspeak meant there. Obama's that way. I had a friend who was saying he was trying to read some of the comments that Obama made in the press conference yesterday, and he said it took him about 5-6 times reading it before he figured out what he thought he might be saying. And my friend Brad is actually a man of reasonable intelligence. I respect him for his intelligence. But as I read this, I'm not sure exactly what he meant when he says, you know, nothing will come. If you have health insurance, nothing's coming between you. No insurance company, et cetera. I think what he's saying is the government will make sure that that insurance company doesn't get in our way. You know, we're going to make sure that no insurance company is going to get in our way of you getting the kind of health care that you need. And we're going to, by the way, we're going to tell you what kind of health care you need.
Oh, so what you're saying is the insurance company is not going to get in the way of Congress telling us what kind of health care we need.
That's for sure. That's the way I read it. I don't know how you read it. I mean, I could read it about 10 different ways, which is pretty much the way that politicians talk today. Everybody lies. It's pretty hard to tell what's going on. But as you read the 1,200-page health care bill, I think the truth comes out if you read it all 1,200 pages.
Did you read all 1,200 pages?
I tried to. I went through a number of summaries this morning online and found a lot of horrifying things. Of course, it's a government-subsidized insurance program that won't affect private industry.
No, it'll kill private industry. It won't affect it. It'll kill it.
Well, Barack Obama says it's not going to affect private insurance. It's not going to compete.
It's not going to come in between you because it won't exist.
It is subsidized and everything, but it's not. Yeah, it's not going to affect private industry, except, as you say, kill it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's just go over the health care bill just briefly. I mean, this is the kind of stuff, this is the socialism that we voted for. And whatever happens, I know we're going to get more socialism in the next 4 years. That's a given because we have socialists. We've elected socialists. And this is what socialist nations do. This is what happens when you put hundreds of millions of children through socialist schools over the last 30 to 40 years. This is what socialist education produces, more socialism. It's a no-brainer. We're going to be the United Socialist States of America, USSA. That's what's going to happen because that's the kind of education we're giving our kids by the hundreds of millions. But anyway, here's what socialist health care is coming. But anyway, here's the H.R. 3200, the Obama health care plan. There will be a government committee that decides what treatments and benefits you get. So government's going to decide what you're going to get. The health care choices commissioner will choose your benefits for you. Page 58 of the bill says government will have real-time access to your finances and a national ID health care card will be issued. Government will also have direct access to your bank accounts for electronics funds transfer. So, you know, of course, they're not going to do anything funny with that.
No. The government being able to put money in or take it out of your account, there's no chance they would ever abuse that. In fact, there's no chance they would ever use that ability just to, say, track your spending. Or maybe no chance that the IRS would ever just take advantage of that little leverage and just, I don't know, take some additional funds. Not a chance in the world that could ever happen because we can trust our government.
And yeah, remember, government is God. Please, everybody, remember, this is the worldview. Government is God and Obama is the Messiah. All right? And no company can sue government on price fixing, by the way. That's page 124. And the employer must auto-enroll employees into public opt plans. And according to page 241, doctors, it doesn't matter what specialty you have. You're all paid the same, okay? Doesn't matter your specialty. You get paid the same. Doesn't matter how much education it took. Doesn't matter if it took 12 or 14 years to get you prepared for the specialty that you've taken on. It doesn't matter. You hear me? You're all getting paid the same, docs. And page 317 says government tells doctors what and how much they can own. I assume that means in terms of their business practice. Government mandates programs for orders for end of life. Well, there's where it gets a little scary, especially after Oregon is sending. Remember last week we talked about Oregon sending for the first time, my friends, for the first time, somebody in Oregon got a denial for their chemotherapy. Sorry, you can't afford it. You're going to have to die. And then, oh, by the way, we can help. We can help with that. We can help with killing you. Okay, so these are the kind of letters they're sending in Oregon to people who need state aid for their health care. Okay, prepare for this to be a national program now. Government mandates programs for orders for end of life. Page 427, 429, the government will specify which doctors can write an end of life order. Page 430, the government will decide what level of treatment you will have at the end of your life. And I'm sure, Dave, that's going to involve all kinds of care that you would need to, say, survive.
Well, I think we could understand this. The president said about his own grandmother, you know, a typical white person, his grandmother, that she needed hip replacement while undergoing chemotherapy. And he didn't think that was very wise to go ahead and pay for a hip replacement for somebody so close to the end of their life.
Right. You're going to die anyway, so why do we need to give you that root canal? Besides, it's a $500 root canal, and you're going to die within 3.5 years anyway. Here, for $40, we can take you down now.
Well, that was, after all, a typical white person.
Yeah, that's true, too. All right, ladies and gentlemen, and here is Chuck Norris and the number one dirty little secret. He calls the dirty little secret from Sections 440, 1904 in the House bill. It's home visitation programs for families with young children and families expecting children. And apparently here, Dave, this is unbelievable. And these are mandatory. Mandatory. The bill says that government agents, quote, well-trained and competent staff, will provide parents with knowledge of age-appropriate child development and cognitive, language, social, emotional, motor domains, modeling, consulting, coaching on parenting practices and skills to interact with their child to enhance age-appropriate development. And, Dave, we all know what well-trained and competent staff means. I think we know what this means. These are the 22-year-old father-abandoned, maybe even abused, bitter young women who made it through 4 years of the silly social services classes written by people who never raised a kid in their lives. You know, these are professionals who shuffled their kids off to kindergarten when they got the Ritalin shot every day.
Well, and they're coming to a home near you to tell you how to raise your child. I think if they really wanted to help you raise your children, a cheaper government program and a more effective one, because we're all about efficiency in government, would be when you leave the hospital, especially with that first child, they give you the little T-shirt that says, I was born here and aren't I cute, but they also give you a rod, just a piece of wood, a rod. I think that would be much better in terms of how to raise children and raise them effectively for society. And
Dave, wrong worldview. Remember, the statists are the platonic people that shuffle their kids off to the daycare when they're 2 years old, and they don't raise their own children, and they run off to their social services job because they took their social sciences program for 4 years under professionals that didn't even have their children, or had 1.4 kids who they shuffled off to daycare when their kids were, 6 weeks old. And in the end, it's just total dysfunctionality. And then the dysfunctionals are the ones that run the government, typically, and they're the ones that are hired by the social services departments. And then they wind up coming to places like our homes. By the way, the state shall identify and prioritize serving communities that are in high need of such services. And those would be communities such as us. Folks, this is the National Health Care Bill. Get ready for state officials coming to your home to investigate your child-raising practices. Mandatory, according to page 840 of the Health Care Bill. Well, in just a moment, I want to talk about what a doctor says about this abortion called the Obama Health Care Plan. Be back in just a moment, Sue.
Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org.
Back on the Generations Radio broadcast, this is Kevin Swanson. A lot of things coming to a head right now in this country, but the major issue being considered today on this program is the health care bill that President Barack Obama has proposed and is being considered by the Congress of the United States. Now, Obamacare and Me is an article by Zane Pollard. He's a medical doctor from Florida, I believe, and I pulled this off the web just this morning. He said, I've been sitting quietly on the sidelines watching all this national debate on health care. It's time for me to bring some clarity to the table by explaining many of the problems from the perspective of a doctor. First off, he says, very few of us physicians in the health care debate have really been involved with this. While the AMA has come out in favor of the plan, it's vital to remember that the AMA only represents 17% of Americans' physicians. I have taken care of Medicaid patients for 35 years while representing the only pediatric ophthalmology group left in Atlanta, Georgia that accepts Medicaid. For example, in the past 6 months, I've cared for three young children on Medicaid who have corneal ulcers. This is potentially blinding situation because if the cornea perforates from the infection, almost surely blindness will occur. In all three cases, the antibiotic needed for the eradication of the infection was not on the approved Medicaid list. Each time I was told to fax Medicaid for the approval forms, which I did. Within 48 hours, the form came back to me, which was sent in immediately via fax, and I was told that I would have my answer in 10 days. Of course, by then, each child would have been blind. Each time, the request came back denied. All three times, I personally provided the antibiotic for each patient, which was not on the Medicaid approval list. Get the point? Rationing of care. Over the past 35 years, I have cared for over 1,000 children born with congenital cataracts. In older children and adults, the vision is rehabilitated with an intraocular lens. In newborns, we use contact lenses, which are very expensive. It takes Medicaid over 1 year to approve Medicaid, a contact lens post-cataract surgery. By that time, a successful operation is wasted, as the child will be close to blind from a lack of focusing for such a long period of time. Again, extreme rationing. Here's a solution. I have a foundation here in Atlanta supported 100% by private funds, which supplies all of these contact lenses for my Medicaid children for free. Last week, I had a lady bring her child to me. They are Americans but live in Sweden. As the father has a job with a big corporation, the child has an onset of double vision 3 months ago and has been unable to function normally because of this. They are people of means, but they are waiting 8 months to see the ophthalmologist in Sweden. Then if the child needed surgery, they would be put on a six-month waiting list. What is that? 14 months total. She called me, and I saw her that day. It turned out that the child has accommodative astropia and responded to glasses within 4 days, so no surgery was needed. Again, rationing of care. He goes on and on and on in this article, Dave, but a lot of reasons why this medical care, this ration medical care, is not going to be helpful. By the way, he says one last thing. The new healthcare plan, there will be a tremendous shortage of physicians. It's been estimated that approximately 5% of the current physician workforce will quit under this new system. Also, it's estimated that another 5% will occur because of the decreased number of men and women wanting to go into medicine. At the present time, the U.S. government has mandated gender equity in admissions to medical schools. That means that for the past 15 years, that somewhere between 49 and 51% of each entering class are females. This is true of private schools also, because all private schools receive federal funding. Problem is, the average career of a woman in medicine now is 8 to 10 years. The average work week for a female in medicine is only 3 to 4 days, and I have now trained 35 fellows in pediatric ophthalmology. Hands down, the best was a female that I trained 4 years ago. She was head and heels above all others I trained. She now practices only 3 days a week. So a point being, there's significant problems happening within medical care today, and these doctors are very concerned that this healthcare bill is not going to help the situation at all. Here's another article from the Wall Street Journal, came out yesterday, and it's by John Mackey from Whole Foods. It's the alternative to Obamacare. He presents the idea that that we remove the legal obstacles that slow the creation of high deductible health insurance plans, health savings accounts, et cetera. You know, privatized approaches. He says, why don't you try some privatized approaches? Equalize the tax law so that employer provided health insurance and even individually owned health insurance have the same tax benefits. Repeal all state laws which prevent insurance companies from competing across state lines. Repeal government mandates regarding what insurance companies must cover. Enact Medicare reform. Make costs transparent so that consumers understand what health care treatments cost, et cetera. Enact tort reform to end the ruinous lawsuits that force doctors to pay insurance costs and so forth. He points out again that Canada has a population smaller than California, but 830,000 Canadians are currently waiting to be admitted to a hospital. In England, the waiting list is 1.8 million. He adds also at the end of this, I think this is important, unfortunately, many of our health care problems are self-inflicted. Two-thirds of Americans are now overweight, one-third are obese. Most of the diseases that kill us and account for about 70% of all health care spending, heart disease, cancer, et cetera, are mostly preventable through proper diet, exercise, not smoking, minimal alcohol consumption, and other healthy lifestyle choices. And Dave, again, an important comment here. And, you know, when it comes down to it, so many people are sick because of the choices that they make. And I think I ought to be able to choose as to whether or not I subsidize somebody else's smoking or fornicating lifestyle by funding their medical care for AIDS, heart disease, or lung cancer. And I don't think you need to sign me up for mandatory charity for these people. Now, I might choose to give somebody something and provide them a little help for their health care, but I don't think the government should force me to pay for somebody else's bad lifestyle choices.
and that's wrong on two accounts. One is, it's a form of stealing. It's taking money from you and giving it to somebody else based on perceived need. But it's also bad and unloving in this respect. If the government is paying for it, it's removing accountability and responsibility to the person making bad choices, to living that lifestyle that'll make them sick. Ergo, what the government funds, you get more of. You will have more diabetics if you are paying, if somebody else is paying for their care. You'll have more people with AIDS if the government says go ahead and get AIDS, we'll go ahead and take care of it. You'll have, by the way, more abortions because they're going to force you to pay for the killing of children in this bill as well.
Dave, you're absolutely right there. More socialized medicine will continue to promulgate the problems we've seen. It's not like public funding of education has solved any of the problems. When families refuse, when individuals refuse to take responsibility for their own lives, for their own children, for the education of their own children, and for their own medical care, you know when government takes over, they're going to continue to ruin our entire social system. Folks, it happened in the Soviet Union. It's going to happen in this country as well. But Dave, we got a lot of things coming to bear right now on this health care decision, and that is, there are a lot of people out there that fear death. There's a lot of people that trust the government, as we said. They desire that absolute security, and that's the socialist mentality that somehow if the government just controls every aspect of my life, I will be totally secure, and I won't have to live a risk life. I don't need to risk anything in life because government's going to give me womb-to-tomb security. Well, this desire is in the hearts of hundreds of millions of people who've already been in Social Security and Medicare for the last 50, 60, 80 years. And if that's the seeds that have been planted, of course we're going to have more socialism because people have been trained not to act independently, individually, and with their own personal responsibility. So we got a lot of things. We have fear of death. We have desire for security. We have a failure of the economy. I mean, the economy is failing right now, and people are even more insecure than they've ever been. We've got a breakdown of the health of the nation going on right now. The health of the nation has never been as bad as it is right now in terms of the way that people live and the way they eat and so forth, the way they exercise. We have a huge increase in medical care. The percentage take of medical care over the gross national income has increased significantly over the last 10 to 15 years. We've got legal liabilities. People don't want to be doctors anymore because of some of the regulations and, of course, the legal liabilities involved here. So we've got a lot of things coming to bear on this decision, and I think socialist medicine is probably going to be, at least at some point, an inevitability.
Well, we already have it. It's called Medicare and Medicaid. They're both socialist programs. They're redistribution programs. They're programs that give people medicine that they couldn't afford otherwise. But you're right. When you increase unemployment, people aren't going to be able, those people who aren't employed are not going to be able to get their insurance from their employer anymore because that relationship has been severed and they're not able to afford it on the open market. They're going to need something and they're going to look to the government for it. You have the largest single group of voters, which are, of course, single women who don't have husbands who will provide for them. They're looking for the government to do that. The government is, in essence, their husband. So at the very least, I think that right now the very best you could hope for being a rationalist is saying that the Medicare Medicaid program will expand.
Yeah, and Dave, as you know, Marxist statist medicine didn't work in the Soviet Union, and it's not going to work here as well. When you turn over control, absolute control, to the state, Dave, what will happen is you will see euthanasia climb. You will see new forms of psychiatry developed so that people like us will be shuffled off to certain hospitals and mental institutes and so forth because the state has defined the medical issues in the medical definitions. And when the state controls all things, all aspects of our lives, then the government will be able to define all things and ultimately control the kind of medical care that we give to our children and to ourselves. So as you said, I think rationing is going to be part of the equation here. So when you turn things over to the government, when you abandon personal responsibility, inevitably tyranny will grow, but also the free market will languish, and we're going to see an economic, I think, collapse happen in the near future.
And I think we're going to see an end of medical development because the government's picking the winners and losers in terms of patients and in terms of therapy. In terms of patients, it's very scary because certain people of certain parties, political affiliations perhaps even, might get preferred care over others. We know that happened in the auto problems that we've had. Certain dealerships who contributed to a certain party were favored over dealerships who contributed to another party. And by the time they get this settled out in court, it'll be too late. And of course, if you're dying, it'll be too late also. But just as important is they're picking the winners and losers of therapy and treatment. They say this is the government-funded way that we're going to treat this. Well, where's the incentive for research? Where's the drug company going to find that new drug, or the doctor going to experiment with a surgery in a certain case that has some possibility? It's not going to be funded and paid. So I think you're seeing a stagnation in medical technology. We have led the world. We have been the leaders in the world of medical technology. God has blessed us in this area, and we're going to give it all up.
And that's because of the free market. Dave, as I said before, if everybody deserves the best medical care and there's the best ophthalmologist somewhere in Denver, how is this doctor going to have the time to see everybody? There is always one doctor who's better than the others. It's just the way it works. He has more talent. He has more ability. He cares more than the other doctors. How is that doctor going to have time to see everybody? The answer is one of two things. One is selective services. That is, the government would choose its own people to go to the best doctors, and they will put their own people in the front of the line, and certain people will have the privilege of visiting the best doctors, or all medical care will eventually decline to some lowest common denominator. And, of course, that's probably what's going to happen, because the best doctors will not be motivated to be the best doctors anymore, and we'll have the lowest common denominator serving people in this country, as happened in the Soviet Union and, of course, Sweden, England, and Canada, and everywhere else where socialist medicine is being practiced. Bottom line here, folks, some people just have to die. Either they're going to die by government fiat, or they're going to die because they run out of money or run out of charity, or at some point, they're going to die because there is no medical care that could possibly save their lives. And this is basically the worldview that we're presenting here. You can't run around stealing other people's money to fund your own medical care. That's just a violation of the law of God. So the best system is not a government-run system. The best system is a private-run system wherein charity has the opportunity to not only take a look at the physical needs of our people, but also deal with the spiritual needs of the people, because the physical needs and the spiritual needs, as it turns out, are very, very intricately tied together. And this, my friends, is the right system. And this, by the way, is also the system we're going to continue to promote, and we're going to do, at least in the black market. We're going to abandon the government's funded systems. Christians are not going to participate in these government-run systems. We're going to have our own alternative systems, which may have to run in the gray markets or the black markets, or we may have to leave to some other nation where we can fly under the radar. But one way or the other, we have to use our own systems of medical care wherein charity has the opportunity to provide good medical care, and we're not submitted to a government-run euthanasia-based system. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. I hope it's been helpful to you. We encourage you to continue to be in contact with your state representatives, your senators, your congressmen on these issues. But in the meantime, the most important thing you can do is pray and continue to live your lives according to God's word. Also, elect godly leaders, men who understand the commandments, especially commandments that read, "Thou shalt not kill." You can interact with this radio program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com, and you can interact with this radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com, and you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.